simple man. You say you haven't trusted in me. I don't believe in such a mystery. Baby, what you get is what you see. I am a simple man. I want a job and a piece of land. Three squares in my frying pan. Don't seem so hard to me.
This is a special report from ABC News. Trump trial underway. I'm Daria Albinger. David Pecker, the publisher of the National Enquirer, will be on the witness stand when court resumes tomorrow in the New York hush money trial of Donald Trump. ABC's Aaron Katursky was in court today for opening statements.
Defense attorney Todd Blanche said during his opening statement that President Trump had nothing to do with the invoice, with the check being generated, or an entry on the ledger. And in fact, there was Donald Trump now speaking about the minutiae of how this payment, reimbursement payment to Michael Cohen, was logged each and every month, how it appeared on the invoices, how it appeared on the checks and the ledger.
There were some issues with jurors, one telling Judge Juan Marchand that he was worried about the publicity the trial could generate, but after a sidebar conversation, they determined he could remain on the trial. Another had a dental emergency. This is ABC News. Details of a suspected cyber attack earlier this year on the water system in Mule Shoe, Texas, are now coming to light.
A Russian government-sponsored hacking group is suspected of digitally forcing its way into the control system of the Mule Shoe, Texas water supply, causing the town's water tower to overflow. The issue has been fixed, but the cyber attack has shaken the townspeople's sense of security.
You think when you're in a smaller town, you're safe? And that just proves you're not.
The cybercrime group Sandworm has posted a message to Telegram taking responsibility for the attack on Mule Shoe. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
The city manager insists the town's residents were never in danger. On this Earth Day, Hong Kong is taking the major step of banning single-use plastic items. Straws, utensils, and plates will no longer be available in restaurants. According to Greenpeace, single-use plastic utensils are the second largest source of plastic waste in Hong Kong, behind single-use bags. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
When you use Bounce dryer sheets and your clothes look amazing, it's the sheet. Less static in your life? Yeah, it's the sheet. Smelling fresher than ever? It's the sheet. Oh, so soft fabric. Ooh la la. It's the sheet. Less wrinkles on your clothes? You know it's the sheet. Bounce dryer sheets. More freshness, more softness. Less static, less wrinkles. It's the sheet.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. Two crashes in 2 days involving Milwaukee County transit buses have killed two people and injured several more. The first crash happened when a speeding car ran a red light and collided with the bus around midnight Friday on Milwaukee's west side. The driver of the car, identified as Brandon Lewis, died at the scene, while the bus driver and two riders were hospitalized but are expected to survive. The second crash on Saturday night on Milwaukee's northwest side killed a passenger in the car that hit the bus, while the car's driver and another passenger suffered life-threatening injuries. The seven riders on the bus received non-life-threatening injuries. The driver of the car is in custody with charges pending. An update on the search for 3-year-old Elijah Vu. Two Rivers police said Friday officers undertook further river searches utilizing kayaks. Sonar searches were also conducted in the water. Police also reported that the Wisconsin Department of Criminal Investigation and Manitowoc County Sheriff's Office looked for Elijah on local agricultural land. Aerial searches were also conducted by the FBI and the Wisconsin Drone Network, which did an extensive and expanded search of the area. Saturday marked 2 months since the toddler was reported missing. A 23-year-old man has been taken into custody in connection with the death of a woman along a Janesville hiking and biking trail. Police say the 22-year-old woman's body was found Wednesday along the Peace Trail on the city's south side. Police say the suspect knew the woman and had a relationship with her that at some point had soured. Police add that the two had a child together. A search warrant executed on the suspect's home turned up evidence police say connects him to the woman's death. He's being held at the Rock County Jail on suspicion of first-degree intentional homicide. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Need a quick but tasty supper idea? Stop at O'Galley Cheese for their take-and-bake pizzas. O'Galley Cheese's pizzas are made with their own cheddar and three cheese blend, featuring Romano and award-winning Asiago and Parmesan cheeses, made with milk from only local dairy farmers. Don't forget to ask for a pizza punch card. Open 7 days a week, O'Galley Cheese is located just north of Durand on Highway 25 for your next pizza craving.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Clouds increasing today as high temperatures strike the upper 60s, thanks to the southwest winds pulling in the warmth but gusting up to 30 miles per hour. With an elevated fire risk today, it's a good thing that showers roll in late this afternoon. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. It's 56 degrees at our studios.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Durand Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
It's Iowa Ag Secretary Mike Nagg and later Shine Taylor from Gowan from Growing Matters. Excuse me, Shine Taylor Gowan, right? From Growing Matters and the Be Sure campaign. Directly following the news, Matt Griffin from BAM WX. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis.
I had too many words in there. I didn't know what to do with them, so I just read them all.
I got you. Help me. Shine Taylor from Gowan.
Thank you.
Yes, with a Be Sure campaign.
Got it.
Message. How you doing, buddy? Everything good? I know there's a lot of words out there in the world, and we got to use them all.
Yeah.
But by all
outward appearances, it may seem like I'm off to a rocky start. I'm killing it so far today, baby. I'm on fire today. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What do you care to share?
Well, I haven't gotten much done, but I feel great.
Oh. That is a Monday morning. That is an optimistic view on a Monday morning, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
can't wait to see what this week has for us. It's going to be terrific.
Man, you got me all fired up now.
There you go. My work here is done. Good night, everybody. I'm out of here.
Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us on this Monday morning.
Yeah.
I had a good weekend, dude.
Good. Good. Yeah, you did, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I will share. I will share with everyone right now that I harvested another beautiful Eastern Tom turkey here in the great state of Iowa. As a matter of fact, basically right out the back door of the bunker.
Yeah.
Harvested another turkey here over the weekend.
And, now I wonder.
Delicious.
Does that mean you spent like half of the rest of the morning sort of elbow deep in feathers? You take care of that yourself? You do all that?
No, yeah, absolutely. You got to do all of that. And the thing about it is you could be done with the whole process the whole thing could be done in 2 hours. But no, you got to stretch things out.
Yeah.
You got to enjoy it. You got to live in it. You got to live in it for a little bit. It was fun.
I love that.
I got to spend some time with son and grandson and the blind at the same time. It's fantastic.
Bro, good for you.
Yes. All right, let's get to the news.
Let's start with the National Weather Service weather outlook, where showers and thunderstorm chances stretch from the upper Midwest and Great Lakes clear to the southern plains over the next few days. Chilly and frosty start to Earth Day throughout the Ohio Valley and Mid-Atlantic, while well above average temperatures remain in place across much of the Southwest and the Great Basin. Is it Earth Day today? Is that what it is?
Yes. Yes, it is. It is Earth Day today. We've got a beautiful Earth Day off and running. It's 51 degrees here. Mm-hmm. I think we're headed for a high... somewhere around 65 degrees. The wind's going to pick up again this afternoon. Surprise, surprise.
Well, yeah.
Wow.
The benchmark S&P 500 closed out a tough five trading days on Friday with its worst weekly performance in over a year. The decline saw the index slip below the key 5,000-point level for the first time since late February. LaSalle Economics President Dr. Vince Malanga criticizes the Federal Reserve for not implementing an early rate cut, which he believes would have helped address declining inflation, absorb debt, and justify asset valuation increases. Instead, Chair Powell and the Fed hinted at future rate cuts, but recent economic data showing resilient growth and stubborn inflation has raised doubts about this approach.
Yeah, we're going to have to get Vince on and talk about the letter from this weekend. There's some interesting thoughts and perspectives in there.
Well, Chip, Tesla reduced prices for its vehicles in China, the United States, and Europe in response to declining sales and increasing inventory levels. Additionally, the company has lowered the price of its full self-driving software by one-third in the United States. Elon Musk's focus on developing robo-taxis instead of more affordable electric vehicles has intensified challenges for Tesla. Saudi Arabia is expected to require a higher oil price this year compared to previous estimates, according to the International Monetary Fund. The IMF indicates that Riyadh will need an average oil price of $96.20 per barrel to balance its budget if it maintains crude output. That seems about twice as high as the last figure I heard for what Riyadh needs to balance its budget.
Yeah, exactly. That, well, you know, there's probably a return to the management included in that break even, but holy smokes, you're right. Yeah. That's like double.
Yeah. Yep. Well, Chip, the House on Saturday passed a $95.3 billion foreign aid package for Ukraine, Israel, and the Indo-Pacific region. The measures now go to the Senate for a Tuesday vote. A fourth bill to clear the House would seize frozen Russian sovereign assets and force a sale of the Chinese-controlled social media app TikTok, among other priorities. Israel is reportedly enraged that the United States is poised to impose sanctions on a unit of the Israel Defense Forces for alleged human rights violations against Palestinians. Benjamin Netanyahu, Israel's prime minister, vowed to fight sanctions that America reportedly plans to impose on an Israeli army unit for alleged human rights violations in the West Bank. Dude, I just got to say, these last two stories, we're just imposing the way that we think things ought to be here. We're going to force the sale of TikTok. We're going to freeze Russian assets. We're hassling Israel. I don't know, bro. Over to you.
Yeah, actually paying our bills on a war that we're kind of fighting in Ukraine.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Yeah. A lot of irons in the fire there.
Absolutely. Thanks, Davis. Appreciate you, buddy. All right. Let's bring in Matt Griffin, BAMWX.com. How you doing, Matt?
I am doing fantastic. How about yourself?
Really nice. It's a beautiful morning up here. A little chilly to start things out, and it looks like we've got some cooler temperatures in the forecast, right?
Yeah, so some frost, some freeze, getting into, once again, Thursday morning, especially kind of around the Great Lakes, the Eastern Dakotas, Minnesota. Friday, another round of frost and freeze, too. This will be more Great Lakes into your northeast. And, you know, beyond that, the pattern will warm up pretty decently. But let's watch around early May, May 7th to 12th, or maybe another sneaky little frost threat there as well. Deeper into the forecast that we're tracking.
May 7th to 12th. Making a note of that one. That one's that could be an important one. Looks like we've got some action in the weather coming up the end of this week again, right?
It's going to be busy. We've got multiple rounds of storms, two pretty powerhouse low-pressure systems moving through the central plains. We've got severe weather. The Storm Prediction Center already has severe weather outlooks outlined for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I think they'll probably end up issuing another one getting into Sunday as well. And then getting into the following week, there's probably going to be more severe weather and more heavy rain. And a lot of that rain is more focused into the central plains, the western Ohio Valley, getting into the Great Lakes. There's some wiggle room on each side. But certainly concerned about the amount of rain with this critical time of the year we're getting into.
Yeah. And the potential for some above normal rain seems to be in the extended outlook.
Oh, yeah. I'm concerned really not only, you know, as we head into late into the week, it's going to be wet into the central plains, especially into the upper Midwest and Great Lakes. But I think that pattern continues into the first week in May. And I think May as a whole features an active pattern into the Central Plains, the U.S. South, even getting into perhaps the Ohio Valley, although there's some wiggle room, especially for the east and the eastern Indiana, Ohio, York.
All right, Matt. Thank you so much. Matt Griffin, BAM WX. We got Machine Repeat next.
Take control with Brandt and Zup Zinc. Elevate your crop's health and yield with this enzyme-based zinc solution. Designed for enhanced nutrient uptake, plant vigor, and supporting early growth. Take control of your corn and soybean yield with Brandt and Zup Zinc. Visit Brandt.co to learn more. That's Brandt.co.
Agriculture drives this country.
Congress recently invested $20 billion in conservation practices.
These programs help small farmers better their practice at a cost that they can afford.
They've helped me to not only take care of my family, but to take care of the land.
Today, these funds are at risk. Congress, protect conservation funding in the Farm Bill and keep agriculture viable for future generations. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. Join me each weekend as we explore the news and issues that matter the most to agriculture. We know this past year has been challenging in many ways, but as agriculture continues to adapt, we are right there with you. From markets to weather, each weekend we take a deep dive into what matters most. Join me each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Max Armstrong here. The demand for nitrogen has never been higher. Fortunately, Pivot Bio has transformed the way fertilizer is produced and used by farmers. Unlike synthetic nitrogen fertilizers, the cost of Pivot Bio Proven 40 is every bit as consistent as its performance. And since it's applied in furrow at planting, it's weatherproof.
To learn more, contact Bauer Seeds in service in Durand, Wisconsin. Call 715-577-8541.
Machine Repeat here, folks. This segment of AgriTalk brought to you by our friends at Dakota Ag Innovations, makers of Dakota Shine, the best way I've seen to fix faded paint. Go to DakotaShine.com, call 888-996-7801.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad you're with us. All right, it's Monday morning. This means it's time for a conversation with Greg Peterson, Machine Repeat. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing well, Chip. How are you doing this morning?
Doing real fine, real fine. You got a long list of things that we need to get to today, so let's go ahead and get things started with the pick of the week. This is a cool pick of the week right here.
Yeah, something different. We don't feature versatile tractors every week, every month, but always fun to run across them out there. And my good friends at the Wendt Group out in Ohio, Kevin and the guys, Dale and Nick, had a nice farm auction last Tuesday in Bellevue, Ohio. You maybe saw the YouTube video, folks. I posted on it this weekend. Three super nice versatile tractors. The pick of the week, let's go with the 12-model versatile 305. 1137 hours on it, brought $158,000, which is actually $10,000 higher than any versatile 305 I've ever seen at auction. So record price there. And interesting, it's a 12 model, so it's not quite pre-def, but still you're up over 10 years old. And what does a new one cost? That whole thing. But a couple other versatiles. They had a 10 model versatile 375 four wheel drive. 1880 hours, so low hours again, 122,000. That was the highest auction price on a versatile 375 in 8 years, fourth highest ever. And then if you're into track tractors, it's one I don't know that I've seen before, actually. It was a 14 model Versatile 450 DT with only 1,149 hours. That brought $232,000, which good use track tractors have been actually been very strong couple of two, three yeah. years now. And maybe even more interesting than the Versatile tractors, I thought, Chip, was the combine on the sale. Really okay. sharp 13 model John Deere S670, 1,678 engine hours, nice rig. Of course, combines have been recalibrating pretty heavily on the values
softening up,
last year and a half. This one brought 182.5 with no heads, which when you look in our website, all the auction prices, again, free folks, you hop in and look at them there. But that's the highest auction price on a 13 model S670 in almost 2 years. So that was a nice combine on a nice farm auction, one of those deals where folks know the owners and how well they cared for it, and so you expect a premium, and that was a there good premium go. There. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. The thing that struck me about your picks of the week, you mentioned it very quickly there, is that these are not pre-def tractors. These are later models. It's still a strong market. We didn't see a record on all of those.
Yeah.
On all three of those tractors, those Versatiles, but nonetheless, it's still a strong market. And
yeah, the 12 model and the 14 model selling very well there. That brings up something. I've always called it my machine repeat limbo bar line in the sand. It's the 10-year-old mark. Mm-hmm. And so you know, at this point, 2014 and previous year, what happens is the price of new is so stinking high that, you know, a nice 10-year-old one or 12-year-old one is just so attractive. Now, as we transitioned, you know, the pre-def was 2011 and earlier. So people got a little hung up thinking, well, that rule won't apply because everyone wants the pre-def. And I was sitting back saying, well, I've seen it for 34 years now. It's going to keep doing it. And this is proof here, a nice 12 model or a nice 14 model again. Not pre-def, but still bringing a premium as they should, because if you want to go buy a new track tractor, a new, you know, whatever, 400 horse, four-wheel drive, it's going to cost you your piggy bank and your neighbor's piggy bank. So the used ones are attractive.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you've got the wheels spinning in my brain here this morning, Greg, because the cost of new has always mm-hmm. been part of the reason that we see strength in mm-hmm. the used equipment auction. That's part of the reason, a big part of the reason, that there's demand for used equipment. It's not like we can look at right now, this moment, and say cost of new is a brand new issue in the equipment market. It's always been the issue.
Always. I remember when I was a young guy, I didn't know anything, 23, 4, 5 years old, standing out at an auction, writing prices down, chit-chatting with people, and you'd watch a 5-year-old tractor back then in the early 90s sell for, you know, $150,000. Oh, my God. Can it go any higher? And what people would always say then is, well, you know, what's a new one cost? And I think what's happened here since the supply chain coming out of the pandemic, the price increases on new have got so aggressive, and we've talked about it, but, you know, down in Commodity Classic in Houston there, Deere comes out with their new big, 830-horse tractor, and we do a video on it, and people are like, oh, really? Yeah, that's cool, but hey, Pete, what's it cost? And it's like, well, it's $1.3 million. So I'm sorry, but that makes a nice 10-year-old one. If you got to do the job on your farm, I mean, it's nice to have new, but it's
right.
$1.3 million is a lot of money.
That's right. That's a commitment.
That is a big commitment. And the interesting thing is there's, you know, people farm and there's folks that buy new all the time, and that's awesome. That works for them. There's other people that buy the second machine when they trade it in. And then there's the third buyer.
Yep.
So the whole thing is connected. And right now we're just at a point where, you know, dollars are tight in ag right now. Mm-hmm. So that's driving, I think, more people back into the used market. And the interesting thing now, Chip, that I'm starting to see is dealer focus, you know, because they're hyper concerned about buildup of used inventory. So they're actually particularly in the Midwest here on large ag side, they're really focused on, hey, we got to move used.
Right.
So, you know, of course they want to sell new, but priority number one is to work down that used inventory.
Right.
So I think the rest of the year here, there will be some more off the dealer lot, maybe some specials of special financing, different offers. And auctions will do what they do. You put something up for sale and it's going to bring what it's going to bring. So it's fascinating to track it.
Absolutely it is. Yep, a lot to learn from it, no doubt. Take us up to Michigan.
Michigan Wednesday, my friends, at Sikora Auction Service. One tractor caught my eye. Sale in Pinconning, Michigan. They had a 91 John Deere 4755, 3,260 hours, $61,000. This is interesting because that's the ninth highest auction price ever. A lot of people were commenting that, when I posted it this weekend, and they're like, ooh, that was really cheap. And it's like, well, yeah, but I mean, it's 33 years old and it's the ninth highest price ever. The interesting thing to me is that the five highest prices on 4755s ever and the seven of the 10 highest have all come in the last 13 months.
Okay.
Now, again, you're talking to a guy who's been tracking this for 34 and a half years. So that, again, is showing you that people are jamming backwards to find the nicest older tractors that, you know, and most of these, they're not being bought to collect. They're being bought to farm with. So it's pretty interesting.
Yes, certainly is. Certainly is. Okay, what are you watching? What's coming up?
Tomorrow and Wednesday, big two-day sale, folks, by our friends at Merit Auctions for Ag Pro Companies. They're having their two-day small ag turf and construction online auction. Just check it out at proxybid.com or meritauctions.com. Day one tomorrow is kind of the smaller horsepower stuff. Some really nice tractors. I got a 23 model John Deere 4044R with 51 hours and a loader. If you're looking for lawn tractors, they got a 20 model, a Z930M zero turn with 119 hours. And then Wednesday, we get day two, tons of really nice construction equipment, mini excavators, a pair of 23 model Deere 35Gs, a 22 model Deere 17G, and a bunch of 5 and 6,000 series Deere tractors. So again, that's a two-day sale tomorrow and Wednesday online. Go to meritauctions.com. Check that out, folks. There'll be some good buying opportunities there for that small utility-type tractor you might need.
Yep. And then next weekend, there's another big consignment auction in Greenville.
Well, actually, there was just one this past Saturday.
Oh, Bussey
Brothers had a big sale. A couple really interesting late model red tractors, folks. A 22 Case Edge Steiger 370 sold Saturday. Only had 161 hours on it. That went for $275,000. Now, that is a record. You'd expect it to be. It's 2 years old with 161 hours. But it's interesting to show you maybe how things are softening on the high late model, 1-2-year-old stuff. The record was set just a year ago in Indianola, Iowa. A 17 model 370 Steiger with almost 2,000 hours brought 272,950. So here was a 22 model that brought 275 Saturday. So again, on the very high end, 1-2-year-old stuff, you know, seeing a little recalibration going on there.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Good stuff, Greg. Thank you so much. Hey, get on Machine Repeat social media tracks, whether it's on X or on YouTube, whatever. The stories are like nonstop coming from Greg, but he's got a really good one out there on Found Dad's Tractor.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you're going to have to check that one out. Greg, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, man.
Sounds great, Chip. Take care.
All right. Greg Peterson, Machine Repeat. We've got Iowa Ag Secretary Nag up next.
Ahead of planting season, the Be Sure campaign, organized by the Growing Matters Coalition, is back again to protect pollinator habitats and safeguard biodiversity across America's farmland. Since 2019, the Be Sure campaign has helped educate millions of growers and applicators on best management practices and responsible stewardship when applying neonicotinoid products. For guidance, tips, and resources, visit growingmatters.org/besure.
Level up your lineup with new Zalo herbicide. A convenient soluble premix formulated for glufosinate-tolerant soybean, cotton, and canola with better average weed control than Liberty herbicide. Get post-emergence broadleaf weed control, plus multiple modes of action for broad-spectrum contact and systemic grass control.
take control up a notch. Visit amvac.com/Zalo.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from ProFarmer.
Joining us now, ProFarmer editor Brian Grady. I'm not exactly sure where I want to start this morning.
There are many reasons growers trust Stein on their operations. For starters, we're home to the industry's highest yielding genetics. But we have something else just as powerful and reliable as our products: service. With Stein, growers have the benefit of leveraging decades of knowledge from our talented agronomy and sales teams. We're ready to walk the fields with you to ensure you get the yield benefits Stein Genetics can bring to your farm. Stein Seed. Dedicated to yield. Committed to you.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, May milk up 44 to 1824, June up 30 to 1837, July up 25 to 1858, August milk up 26 at 1880. Meanwhile, live and feeder cattle markets moving sharply higher after the positive cattle on feed report from Friday, and the nervousness and fear surrounding the avian influenza outbreak continues to run its course through the market, and the traders are now refocusing on the bullish fundamentals of the market. Hog markets moving mostly higher due to strength in those midday pork cutout values. April live cattle up $1.92 to $183.40. April feeder cattle up $1.42 to $242.75. And May hogs up 62 cents to $96.85. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all moving mostly higher. Corn receiving some support from the run-up in wheat prices. Also, the weekly export inspections were strong at 1.624 million metric tons. Soybeans moving higher on good short covering and oil leading the product markets. Meanwhile, wheat markets moving up mostly higher as well. Weekly export inspections while range-bound, the MATIF wheat prices continue to extend the upper end of the trading ranges. New crop corn up 6 to 472 and a quarter. New crop beans up 11 and 3 quarters to 1172 and 3 quarters. Chicago wheat to December up 20 and a half to 629 and a quarter.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Sponsors.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you're with us on this Monday morning. Had a chance earlier this morning to talk with Iowa Ag Secretary Mike Nagy. He joins us right now. Secretary Nagy, it's great to talk with you again. How are you?
I am great. Always great to catch up with you, Chip.
Excellent. I want to start with some good news. We got the announcement on Friday that E15 sales are going to be allowed this summer. That's a positive step in the right direction for ethanol demand for this summer, isn't it?
Well, it certainly is. You know, I would say it's a bit of a good news, bad news scenario, though. One good news in that we get that waiver that we've been looking for, which means that, you know, that folks will be able to have access to those higher blends. Maybe the bad news side of it is it just underscores the fact that we are still without a permanent national solution. I don't think any of us want to be in a situation where we're having to rely on emergency waivers, though they are absolutely justified. But I think what we'd like to see is that national year-round solution that means that folks can count on being able to find those fuels. You know, some statistics for Iowa just last year. We set a new record for E15 usage. It was up 50%, and that meant that Iowans saved as much as $38 million just because of the fact that E15 or unleaded 88 was cheaper than the alternative. So You know, doesn't that make sense that we should want to make sure folks can have access to that all across the country?
Yes, yes, absolutely. It makes sense. And it will be available again in the 8 Midwest states
right.
from 2025 forward. But you mentioned it, Secretary Neg. The big effort here is to make it available nationwide, right?
Well, it is. And look, I always look at this and say, okay, sure, yes. We love biofuels from the standpoint that it creates markets for farmers. You like the economic activity around the actual, you know, processing, you know, the jobs that are created and the value that creates. Of course, consumers benefit because, and I just mentioned the savings that I experienced, but, you know, you can see that on the sign at every gas station, how yep. beneficial that is, good for the environment. But also in this uncertain world, where we've got a crisis and conflict occurring in parts of the world that happen to be oil producing, this is also an energy security, which is a national security imperative as well. So for all those reasons, I just continue to think, and a lot of us do, that we ought to have that permanent national solution, and that's ultimately what we've got to continue to focus on.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the national security, the fuel security side of biofuels is all very important, but let's get a little selfish here and talk about what it means for corn growers across the state, because ethanol, it has been a boom for Iowa corn growers and growers across the Midwest and across the country.
Absolutely.
So what is next? Is it clearing the path for corn-based ethanol to make it to SAF? What is next for ethanol?
You know, it's a great question. I love to, you know, people will ponder, what's the next ethanol? Well, it turns out that the next ethanol is actually ethanol. Meaning that, yes, absolutely, things that get us down the road to sustainable aviation fuel, which is a drop-in fuel. You know, I don't think you and I are going to be traveling on battery-powered commercial, passenger aircraft No. anytime soon, Lord willing. And that, you know, so something like SAF just makes all kinds of sense. You know, look, over half of Iowa's corn crop is first processed at an ethanol plant. Okay, so if you want to drive home the economics of that, alone is a significant contributor. And now, just translate that into, now if you can take that ethanol and turn it into SAF, or frankly, we can continue to break down that bushel of corn or that bushel of soybeans into all kinds of other products, renewable materials, renewable chemicals, and other biofuels. You know, like the sky's the limit here, literally, yeah. When it comes to this. And I think that that's really exciting and bodes well for the future.
All right. Okay. I want to switch gears. What is your take on the discovery of the H5N1 in dairy cattle? Iowa's been at the center.
Yeah.
Regretfully, the center of the H5N1 story many times because of the poultry and egg production in the state. So you've got experience in handling the H5N1 confirmations. That is clear. But this is something completely different, isn't it?
Yeah, as we like to say, this is something we wish we weren't good at. Meaning, you know, we've got a lot of experience in it as it relates to poultry, you know, turkey production, egg production being significant in the state of Iowa, but this is different. So let's say it's not unheard of that mammals could contract high path avian influenza, right? That's happened in history, so that's not entirely unheard of. But what is unique is that we had this move from birds into dairy, and then move from dairy to dairy. And there's just many questions. I think it's really important here to many of us, you know, we all want to try to speculate about and try to guess or imagine what different scenarios are. I think it's important to stick to the facts, stick to what we know. And here's the thing that has been constant all along, is that this is a evolving situation, to be sure. So, you know, it's certainly an animal health issue, and it's something that's a concern if you're a dairy producer, but also if you're a poultry producers that happen to be neighboring to dairies, you're yeah. thinking about these things too. You're wondering, and you know, that's an example of where we don't know that full picture yet. And so as the research is done, then that'll enlighten us as to what that kind of interaction might be. But I want to stress for folks listening that this is an animal health problem, to be sure, but it is not a human health issue, and it's not a food safety issue. dairy industry has a well-established protocols to divert milk from sick animals, has for decades, and that is being done here as well. Plus, the added protection of pasteurization means that you can confidently consume those dairy products that have been pasteurized. So let's keep the focus where it should be, which is on trying to prevent that spread and understand it even better.
Yeah. Yeah. And if a market has shown a willingness to overreact, I guess, to the H5N1 in bovine, it was the live, the live cattle market. A lot of volatility came along, but man, people need to understand that the beef, it as long as it's cooked, there's no chance that it's carrying the virus.
Well, two things. Always, we should always be, should say that proper food preparation is important. And I don't care what you're talking about or if you're in a outbreak situation or not, you should be understanding what it means to properly prepare, safely prepare food. You should always want to do that. Here's the other piece about IPAT. As we know, unfortunately, when it affects poultry don't recover from IPAT.
Right.
That's why we have to depopulate, quarantine, and really clean up those facilities. Bovine, they may get sick, they get over it, and they come back into production. If it's dairy, and if it is in beef cattle, it's something that you may not even see the impact or the symptoms because they're so minor. And so just keep that in mind too, that while that can create some animal health, and some challenges in terms of containing spread, the good news is that cattle get over it. And that's important to remember.
Yes, absolutely. All right, before we run out of time, there's going to be a lot of Earth Day messages delivered out there today. Some of them are going to be supportive of agriculture. Some of them are going to blame ag for, quote unquote, what's wrong with the earth today. Does Earth Day make you think about anything specific, or is it just another day for Iowa ag?
You know, in one sense, it's just another day in that, here I ran up to the farm to help work on some equipment late last week. It's something about smelling the earth, knowing that, we're going to be out, taking care of that land. That land's going to be providing and producing for us. I think it's something that as farmers understand those things very closely, and they're in the environment. They're reliant on the environment, and they must be focused on protecting those natural resources. So in one sense, I say it's just another day, but I think there are reasons that it's worth stopping, commemorating, and thinking about. I'm proud of the fact that we in Iowa have set conservation adoption records the last 2 years. We're on pace for a third consecutive record-setting year. That tells me that while some of this is routine and that folks are used to dealing with this on a day-to-day basis, that we are also seeing awareness and focus and partnerships and resources at a level that we haven't seen in our history. And that's really saying something, because Iowa's had a long track record on this. So I'm proud of those things. And when we learn things that we can do better, we should do those things. We should better preserve our resources for the future. So those things can all be true all at the same time. It can be a routine piece, but it can also be really important, to be thinking about what more could we do.
Fantastic. Yep. Good thoughts. Good thoughts there. We've only got about a minute left. Talk to me about the law that Governor Reynolds recently signed regarding foreign ownership of farmland. Does it prevent foreign ownership, or is it more about surveillance of that ownership?
Yeah. What this did is it strengthened Iowa's existing laws, and meaning that back in 1979, Governor signed that into law. And what it does is it prohibits the foreign ownership of farm ground into perpetuity. A foreign entity can come into Iowa, buy ground, and convert that into a facility, maybe perform some research and development, build a factory, those types of things. But what you can't do is own farm ground as a foreign entity and compete directly with our farmers. And that's right. That's the way it should be. It's the right balance. We didn't really change the fundamentals of that. What we did do was increase the reporting requirements for those, for entities that own farm ground, and gave the Attorney General some tools that she needed to go investigate. Go look at some of those LLC structures to just ensure that we don't have any issues. And we really don't. You may have heard about these things happening in other states. It's not happening here.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, happy Earth Day to you, Secretary Nag. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you. Always great to catch up.
Excellent. That is Iowa Ag Secretary Mike Nag here on AgriTalk. Next up, we're going to get a Be Sure message from Shine Taylor at Gowan.
Only three companies control 95% of the market for large tractor production. When monopolies capture the market, they take advantage of family farmers and restrict who can repair their equipment. That cuts into farmers' bottom line, and laws must be passed to protect our right to repair. A healthy and vibrant food system is possible, but farmers need the right to repair. And we can't get there without fairness for farmers. Visit fairnessforfarmers.org, paid for by National Farmers Union.
You've paid top dollar for that new truck. Protect your investment with a new fabric spray-on bedliner from Osseo Plastics and Supply. A fabric bedliner protects your truck from rust and corrosion, and the permanent protective bond protects your truck from scratches. The anti-skid feature keeps your cargo from sliding around. The eye-catching bedliner looks factory installed, conforms to your accessories, and will increase your resale value of your truck. Find out how a fabric spray-on bedliner can work for you. Visit osseoplastics.com for more information.
When it comes to farming and family, the most important thing is laying down roots. Hey, it's Matthew from Bluff Country Feed and Seed in Mondovi, and we want to help you grow your roots. From planting to harvest, we can help you lay your foundation through quality feed, seed, fertilizer, and great service. We know how to help because we know Bluff Country. At Bluff Country, we understand the importance of strong roots in the community and the relationships we build. So plant your roots with us at Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
It's like it's a part of you. We're doing conservation programs for the USDA. We've been doing no-till, nutrient management, and we do cover crops on the no-till stuff. These practices are really paying off. Our sugar beets have gone from 18 ton to we're pushing 35 to 40 ton now. When it all boils down to it, these USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America. You're squawking over $20 billion. It's investment into the future for everybody.
John Burke is the owner of Burke Family Farms, Bay City, Michigan. John, tell me about how you use USDA conservation programs at your farm.
Well, over the years, we've been in numerous different programs, from the Conservation Security Program to the EQIP programs. We even had some local watershed programs. You know, we started reducing our tillage 30 years ago. So, you know, it was kind of an expensive process back then. So it was really nice to have some funding there from the USDA to kind of help cover some of them costs.
Absolutely. So staying consistent in the conservation effort is important in your practice, right?
Right. To stay in it consistently, it's very expensive. So, you know, a lot of farmers will jump in and out of these programs because, you know, they get funding for a year or two, then the funding disappears. So they really don't see a big benefit in a couple of years of cover cropping. You know, it takes 4, 5, 6 years sometimes before you see a huge benefit.
What is the status of that funding that's available through the IRA and other conservation programs? Is that funding in danger now?
From what I understand, yes, it is. If you worry about climate change, this is how we protect the climate, is by sequestering that carbon. And we can do that very easily with no-till and cover crop. And if we stay in business, we can protect the climate. We can provide food at a cheaper price. Because if the farmers are not here in the U.S., what's our alternatives for food? You have to go across the pond somewhere and buy it.
Right. Food security is national security. That is John Burke, Burke Family Farms in Bay City, Michigan.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730.
Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you are with us. Be sure in the Growing Matters Coalition, working hard to make sure that we're doing things right out there and getting the message out. Joining us to talk about some of the sustainability issues and stewardship issues that we've got out there is Shine Taylor. Shine is the Southeast Development Rep for Gowan. He joins us right now. Shine, we've got another growing season that is up and running. There's going to be a lot of crop protection products that are put out there in chemical form with sprays. What reminders do the Growing Matters Coalition like to share with farmers and applicators about this time of the year?
So, the first off is we want to make sure that as we start a new season, that we go back and we review those labels, right? Because the label ultimately is the law. And we always go back to those labels to start with. Even myself, who works in this industry and develops chemistries, works hand in hand with those people that use them, always make sure I go back to that label. And it's really important as we start that season to make sure we go back to that label right up front and look and make sure there's no changes. Sometimes there's additions. Sometimes there's modifications of that label, right? That's important just to go back and review because some of those instructions, some of those restrictions, some of those use patterns could change, and we want to make sure we update that as we go through the season and we know those changes going forward.
Right. You know, and understanding what's on that label is one thing, but how can farmers and applicators just absolutely positively make sure that they are following the local, the state, the federal guidelines when they're applying the crop protection products?
Great question. So I rely on experts. Now, that expert could be somebody in my instance, it could be somebody in my own company, but a grower may not have access to those people. But who do they have access to? Most states have a state extension specialist in their field, whether it be, you know, somebody who deals with weed science or pathology, or sometimes they even have a pesticide guru at their state, right? They can contact. And then most of our areas have local extension agents. And that's really who knows what's going on in that local environment, that local community, their soil types, what's going on with their cropping systems. Because even in our geography, and I cover the whole Southeast, you know, Florida is different than Georgia. That's different than North and South Carolina. It matters where you are in that local level. So reach out to those local experts. Also, this time of year, there are tons of pre-plant field days or grower sessions. Everybody's having a dinner or a luncheon. Yeah. Go take your time and go visit one of these luncheons and sit down and listen and to see what somebody has an update on a cropping system or a new pesticide use rate or whatever that is in that local area that could benefit you as that local farmer.
Right, right. You know, one of the things in conversations that I've had, Shine, is with growers here in Iowa, it's important to go into these conversations understanding that these experts that you're talking about, it's not that they want to stop you from doing what you need to do to protect your crop. They just want to make sure and help you do all of that correctly. That's the right attitude, right?
Exactly. We want to make sure that we're stewards of the product, that we're helping the growers be stewards of our products, of everyone's products. So those products will be available for years and years and years on multiple different, whether it be regulatory or use patterns and how we go about our day-to-day business. And we're there to help, whether it be somebody from a company or somebody from a state extension or, you know, state specialist. I've been on many calls over the past couple of days, past weeks, past months, with some of these experts in their field, and we're learning, we're collaborating, we do it together to bring the best product and to bring that knowledge to the grower.
Right, Right. You know, you great point there. You abuse a tool, you're going to lose the tool when it comes to crop protection issues out there. But that's one reason why it's important to practice proper stewardship. What else is on that list of why it's important to practice proper stewardship?
Yeah, so just, I mean, very quickly, if we talk about stewardship of a product, you know, if we're thinking of it specifically around like bee and pollinator safety, just think one third of all the products and crops around the world, one third of them rely on pollination, you know, and those pollinators, whether it be bees or wasps or, you know, there's a lot of different species of animals that pollinate, right? So that's a huge number of our crops that need those pollinators, right? And we're talking, you know, somewhere between 230 to over $500 billion of good and added benefit to pollination on crops. And that's a global number, but even the U.S. it's 20 billion, right? And so it's really important, you know, from our livelihood to make sure we protect those pollinators. And it's our goal, right? It's our need to protect those. And whether that be how we use those products and how we follow the labels, and how we advance those products through their life cycle.
Right, right. Awesome. Good stuff. Shine, before we go, let's make sure that everybody understands where they can go to get more information about the proper stewardship practices. Where do you recommend listeners go?
Yeah, this one's easy. We can go to growingmatters.org/be sure for all that extra information that you might not pick up in this little snippet here.
Yeah, excellent. You know, and it's the other thing that I want to stress here before you go, Shine, I do want to stress, we're not talking about something that's difficult here. We are talking about following the label and making sure that you're doing things right out in the field. It's not that difficult. We're not asking you to break new ground. We're asking you to follow the rules and the regulations of the products that you're putting out there in the field. It's that simple, isn't it?
Yeah, this isn't rocket science. This is grabbing a cup of coffee, pouring a cup of, you know, a glass of sweet tea, and sitting down with your reading glasses and just reading over a few things, making sure you're up to date. Or, you know, get in your truck, go down to the local extension office and just have a conversation, right? Grab a cup of coffee and just have a conversation about with somebody who knows what they're talking about.
Excellent, Shine. Thank you. That is Shine Taylor, Southeast Development Representative for Gowan. Don't forget, go to growingmatters.org for more information. Hey, thank you for listening this morning. Come back this afternoon, 2:06 Central, for more AgriTalk.
Potential. It's the one thing that farmers work tirelessly to reach. Sometimes it takes more than just sweat equity. It takes real financial backing. And whether it's land, equipment, or a little help to make the most of your operation, FBN Finance is the partner for you. At FBN Finance, our farmers' first philosophy means that we have a team of ag experts that looks at each farm and farmer's unique needs, giving you a loan package that fits your goals. And now with FBN Finance, you can get $500 off closing costs for farmland loans over $250,000. With great rates, instant approvals, and a pre-qualification on farmland loans, FBN Finance has everything you need to be your partner in the fields and with your finances. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC, and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
Smart businesses advertise on local radio. Durand's WRDN, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM. Business owners, listen up. What's the one advertising method that doesn't cost your customers money? Radio. It's portable. It's in cars, offices, homes, and businesses, and free to your potential customers. Radio works. Ask our advertisers, and you'll want your business on Durand's WRDN radio at 1430 AM and now at 107.3 FM. Call 672-8989 today.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
Your gas light's on. We need to fill up.
Gas around here is too expensive.
Don't drive all over searching for the lowest prices. Just